know our Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I do trust that the keen cutting Word of God may reach your heart as this gospel meeting proceeds. Then every night we hope to preach the glorious gospel along with the ministry. There'll always be a word for sinners, and the ministry is concerning our Lord Jesus. Every night from 8 until 9 during this week, I try and come and be delighted to see you tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. Now, shall we read a few scriptures, and we'll read them in the order that we find them in our Bible. The first is in the book of Samuel, the Old Testament. Second book of Samuel, in the Old Testament, chapter 20. We're going to read an Old Testament happening and make a New Testament application from it. Verse 4. Then said the king to Amasa, King David, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. Then as a result of tarrying longer than the set time, he never reached David because of this terrible calamity that happened to him. Verse 12, the end of the verse, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. The death of a man on the highway. Now the next reading is in the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 25. Gospel by Matthew, chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now the next reading is in Luke chapter 19. Gospel by Luke. 19th chapter. Verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy feet, but now are they hid from thine eyes. And then he prophesies about the end of Jerusalem, and it all took place in the 70th year A.D. The day shall come upon thee, 40 years later, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now one final verse or two in the Galatian Epistle chapter 4. Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4, and it's the fourth verse. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of these portions of His Word. Now I have a very solemn message, and it will only be the Holy Spirit that will give me the proper courage and enablement to preach it. What I'm going to speak about tonight is the tragedy of being too late. Too late. It's always a sad thing when people are too late. Too late for a plane going on an important journey. Too late when the vessel is moving out from the harbor. Persons have missed it by a few feet. Might as well have been hours late. Too late. Too late. But oh, to think of someone being too late for salvation. And that's a possibility. God never promises salvation tomorrow. You want to know for sure and be saved for eternity. The time is tonight. Now, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow evening this hall could be in darkness. This may be the last night that there will ever be a meeting here. Some of you are sleeping in your sin. And you may never be awakened until it's too late. Realize the time has passed. You're not saved. My advice to you is tonight to make sure work before you leave this gospel meeting. Tomorrow may be too late. Sometimes we read in the Word of God of saints being too late. Those women that came with their spices to anoint the Lord Jesus, they came too late. It was a time to give them that fragrant worship. He was gone from the tomb. We could be too late as the people of God in our service. We could be too late in our worship. And we could be too late in our testimony. There have been occasions when I have felt a nerve to speak to someone about their soul, and I haven't done it. And I have regretted it afterwards, because that same person that I failed to speak to was cut off, went to eternity. I had an opportunity this week. It was at a funeral, burial service. And one of the pallbearers there, fine-looking young man, I knew who he was. He was the niece or the nephew of this sister that was being buried. And he holds a very high position. In fact, he's the vice president of the Reader's Digest. His name's on the fly leaf, the Reader's Digest. And I thought I should speak to that young man, 40 years of age, about his soul before we leave here. Well, the opportunity arose. He came over, and he was very friendly, and he said, I really appreciated the word that I heard here, the message that you gave. And I looked him in the eye, and I said to him, Mr. Payne, what is his name? If you don't get what your aunt has, you'll never be where your aunt is. I believe it got home. could miss it. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. And the saints could be too late. There's one person that was never late for any appointment. That was the Lord Jesus. That's why I read Galatians 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth a son into the world made of a woman. He came at the right time. He was born at the right time. He wasn't too late for Calvary. He was there at the right time, in the end of the age, the moment that dawned, that God had looked forward to from all eternity. And when that moment dawned, he was there on time. He was crucified at the third hour. As that clock arrived at the appointed moment, he was on the tree, lifted up. He was there. And he arose at the right time. Not a day sooner or an hour earlier. Rose the third day. And he went back to heaven at the right time. 40 days later, from the Mount of Olives, he ascended in all the glory of manhood and dignity and went up, and higher he went. And when the moment has come, and it's heaven's best guarded secret, there's not an angel in heaven knows. What is that moment? The moment when he shall come into the air. He'll not come a day before his time or an hour before his time. But when the appointed moment has come, he will be here. He is there now, he will be here then. And we'll be gone. We may be going tonight. Everything that the Lord Jesus did was in time. Never late. Now I'm going to say something about the tragedy of the sinner being too late. An awful thing to be too late for salvation. I have visited people when they were lying on the brink of eternity. And I've gone to speak to them about their soul. And I had the sad feeling these people are beyond being saved. I know that God is merciful. But it's too late when a person is under sedation. Too late when their mind is reeling. And they can't converse properly. And life is ebbing and slipping. And the doctor says a few hours. Too late. Friend, I hope you'll be saved by your senses. By your in time. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 20 gives me the picture of a man that waited too long, tarried too long. David wanted to put Amasa into his kingdom, give him a position in the kingdom. And I'm absolutely sure that God wants to put you into the kingdom. God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's not one in this company, but God's desire for you is that you would be in His kingdom. God has no pleasure, no vindicative pleasure in the death of the sinner. The man arrives at the last day, and he's going out into eternity, and he's going without Christ. It's a tragedy. To spend a short life here and to waken up in hell. Thousands have done it today.
Thousands of people that rose this morning are in eternity tonight spending their first moment in a world of darkness. Lord, never to be saved, never throughout eternal ages. The tragedy. You know, there's only one thing really matters. There are things that are very important in this life, materially. How you're going to do in business, what your trade you're going to follow, who you will marry and where you will live. All vital and important questions today. But when the end is drawing near, those things won't matter the crack of my finger. Young man, if you're going down to a burning hell, to be lost forever, the big thing is to be saved by the grace of God. I know where I'm going tonight. I've been going a long time, since I was a boy of 19. So most of my journey is behind me, and the least is to come. But I'm as sure of heaven as if I were already inside it. I've known that a long time. Wonder where you're going tonight. Just the breath that's going up through your nostrils, keeping you out of eternity. The real thing. God wants you in the kingdom. He's done everything to put you in the kingdom. I'm glad they have that Magna Carta of the New Testament gospel preaching hanging up here. The greatest verse in the Bible. More saved through it than any other. For God so loved the world. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit have loved the world. God loved the world. That He, the Father, gave the Son. What for? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. The grand word, whosoever. I like it. Takes in black and white, yellow and red, rich and poor. Takes in the scoffer and the drunkard. Takes in the religious and the profane, the rich and the poor, the old and the young. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Doesn't say whosoever prayeth to Him, or makes promises to Him, whosoever believeth. Do you believe tonight that you're a lost sinner? That's the first step. That you're lost and a sinner, vile, unclean, and you need a Savior. God wants you in the kingdom. And He has given opportunity for men to go into the kingdom by an act of faith. This man, Amasa, had an opportunity to be in David's kingdom. He said, assemble and be here in 3 days, the time limit. Get into my kingdom. The Bible says that he tarried too long. He tarried longer than the set time that David had appointed him. Before he reached that kingdom, he was smitten by death along the highway. Happens every day. Death stalks the highway. Young men leave a gospel meeting and they never arrive home. Two persons went up near where I lived the other night. Coming home quietly, no liquor, anything like that. Young man and a girl coming up along the 401. And a drunkard. And I believe that every man with liquor in his breath should have his license suspended. I'm a strong believer in that. I would put them off the road and find time. Many of the deaths due to liquor. This man came along in his truck, liquored up, and went over. Immediately.
And those two young people were in eternity in a moment. The sad thing is, as far as I know, they were on the wrong side of the fixed gulf. I'm not the judge, but they were coming from a place where it would be unlikely believers would be coming from.
You don't know. Down the highway tonight, young man, you could be lying in the morgue before the morning. Where will your soul be? I tell you, if you're saved, you'll be in heaven.
If you're not saved, you'll be down weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth.
And it doesn't matter how long you do it, you'll never be saved. Never. Throughout eternity. When I was a boy, it used to make me tremble. The eternal character of it.
I was afraid. Yes. Fear has its place in the gospel. Wasn't fear that saved me.
I was not afraid of any man in my unconverted days. I fought the Hun as a young man, World War II, and sailed in the mercantile marine over the ocean. Fear was one thing I always feared. Meeting God in my sins, I feared it. And I feared going to hell forever. I always believed that I was on the way to hell. I believe in hell tonight, as much as I did then. Some preachers have altered. And there's a toning down in 1980. Likely will continue. And we need to speak these things softly and tenderly and in reality. But there is a hell of fire that's burning while I preach. And there's a heaven of glory that's awaiting every person who has his name in the book of life and that knows the precious blood has reached his heart and has been born of the Holy Spirit of God. The greatest blessing that any of us could ever have is to know Christ as our own personal Savior and his death to have made the atonement for my guilt and sin.
Too late. You could be too late. You could put the thing off and dilly-dally and fritter away precious time and rise out of every gospel meeting and hope against hope that someday you'll be saved. And you'd be too late. And death would steal a mark, appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews 9. I know not the day of my death. Not a day, not an hour. We lie down at night, we cannot tell. Tomorrow's sun may never rise upon us. Will you think about it tonight? Will you put your head on the pillow? Will you ask yourself, will you promise me tonight, man to man, will you promise me that before I go to sleep tonight, I say, if I die in my sleep, where will I be in eternity? You do it. Do not speak too sound if God awakens you by the Holy Spirit to see that you're in frightful danger. Too late. Death came. It was too late. It covered his face with a cloth on the highway. Happens every day. And they moved him into the side, into his shoulder. And the traffic went on up and down the highway the same as ever. But it was too late. He never reached the kingdom. That's the story in 2 Samuel 20. But the story in Luke 19 is a story that brought tears to the eyes of Jesus. You can rest assured when our Lord Jesus stood with the tears running down his face, there's something very, very solemn at hand. When I see the tears of a child, as I walk along the road and there's a child weeping, it's pathetic. I was in a store the other day and there was a little child there crying its head off. I said, what is the trouble with you, dear?
She said, I've lost my mama.
Well, I said, come and I'll buy you a candy bar. So I took her by the hand. We went along and we bought a candy bar. I said, I'll eat the half of it. It's not good for you to eat the whole bar. And we had a little talk. She laughed. Her tears were wiped away. We found her mama. But you see, the tears of a child. Very touching. And then, of course, when you see the tears of a man standing at a grave, I saw a man of 86 this week. I held him at the grave there, because he was married 59 years, and his dear wife was being buried, and he was in trouble. Tears were running down his cheeks. I never saw him cry before. It moved me. I wept too. One of my students said, Jack, I see this as much as you are. It's a sad thing. Tears. A man got up at the back of a gospel hall where I was preaching and he started to move to the front. Never saw the like. Doesn't happen in our type of meetings usually. As he walked up, I said to myself, what will I do when he comes here? What, how am I going to handle him? And as he came nearer, I saw the tears running down. One of them dropped onto the lapel of his jacket. And I thought, this man's in earnest. So I said to him, just kneel down here. When the service is over, we'll have a little talk. He said, you know, I didn't get up of that seat to come up because I've seen it on television screens of evangelistic services that this is what they do. He said, as I listened there to the word, it reached me and I knew I was lost. And he said, I thought, if God sees me get up out of my seat, I'm not going to disturb the service, but if God sees me going up in front of all those people and kneeling down at the front, surely God will realize I need business. He meant business. Yeah. And I sat with him and talked to him, and I knew he was nervous. Wonderful. He was after it. People are after something. It's amazing how many people are longing for salvation today of the society. Young people. God has saved more young people in the last few years than he saved 10 years before. We have them in the city of Toronto that God saved. I'm just thinking right now of a young engineer and his wife who's a Catholic. Came there to that Seneca College. And God awakened. Third night. Many young people have been saved. Why? Because there's a longing in the hearts of people today that wasn't there even earlier, and it seems to indicate to me that God is passing through the land, maybe for the last time. He's saving power. He's God of mercy. Savior wept. Ever see a man weeping, a woman, child, different people weeping, but this is something here that touches my heart to see the Lord Jesus standing in the tears. Stands to run down his feet, push down his feet. What are you weeping for? People that are too late. Too late. He has been there. He has preached amongst them. He has told them the way of salvation. He has moved in and out amongst this people. But they knew not the time of their visitation. You know, there's some maybe in this company, and God has spoken to you a number of times about your soul's salvation. And you're putting it off. The time to be saved is when you're young.
This is the end of side one. Please do not rewind. Turn cassette over at this point, and then resume message on side two.
from 5 to 14. Well, you say I didn't know a child would reach this responsible age as early as 5? Yes, some have even reached it earlier and some later. We can't define the period. I know that I had thoughts about salvation when I was very young. Whenever a soul is moved by the Spirit of God, and the appeal of the gospel is in their ears, and they know they ought to be saved, they're now on responsible ground, and if Christ comes, they'll be left. Isn't it sad to think that boys of 7 could be left behind when Jesus comes? Girls of 10 could be left behind when the Savior comes. Heard the gospel, have turned it down, rejected it. There's no opportunity of being saved afterwards. If you've heard it now, but he moved amongst them. There's a time to be saved. I knew my time had come. I'm absolutely sure the night that the Lord saved me, I was absolutely certain this was it. This was it. I've had opportunities and knew it was the right thing, and now it has come to the head. And God is offering it to me, and the world is here. And this is one path here, and here's another path. I can either turn to Christ, or I can go back to the world. What will I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? This is the hour. And upon your decision will be determined your destiny. You're going to be the one that will make the final choice in the matter of your soul's salvation. No one will coerce you into it. The Holy Spirit will gently strive and lead you to see your need and point you to the Savior. But oh, wasn't that a glorious moment in all our lives who are saved when we were overcome by the sweetness of His love and the death of our Lord Jesus, and we saw it was all for me, that I might never perish. And I received it with all my heart. Salvation is heart work. Not in the head. Some of you can quote scriptures galore, but it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It goes into your very being, and you realize I'm a sinner. As if there was no other one in the world. I'm a lost sinner and I'm a guilty sinner. But the Lord Jesus came into the world and went to Calvary for me. Lord Jesus, Thou hast died for me. And I come to claim this wonderful Savior to be mine. And to receive Him for myself. To be my own Savior from this hour. So help me God. For life and for dying and for eternity. All my soul's salvation resting on the blood of Christ alone, who died and rose again the third day. What are you resting on? Are you 100% resting on the merits of the Savior if you are going tonight over the boundary line that parts time from the great eternity through the veil that hangs between? If you are going tonight, what is your hope? Are you on solid ground? Has it changed your life and habits and conduct? Does it fill your heart with joy that there's a man on the throne that loves you? And does the Bible have an appeal? Not much hope of a person, no matter what they profess, if they don't read the Bible. If they have no love for the Lord's people, and if they have no love for the Lord Jesus, these are acid tests of the true condition. Lord Jesus came near and wept over it. Why? Because He had lived and loved and preached and wrought for their salvation. He said, if thou hadst known in this thy day the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, And the days are coming. He looked forward to the tragedy of the siege of Jerusalem, the worst in human history. And the ransack of the city in AD 70 burned with fire. Men and women laid within the city. He could see it, but he could see more. What could he see? The destiny. The Lord is looking into the faces of living people that will soon be in a real hell beyond where there will be no hope. Brought tears to his eyes. An awful thing. An awful thing for one soul to be lost. Only one. But one soul in this meeting were to be lost. And it's likely there will be some. Everybody here may not be saved. But there's only one loss that's in this company. It's a tragedy. It's a calamity. If that one were you, some boy here missing salvation, missing Christ because of school he laughed at. Missing Christ because young man in business make fun of it. Play the fool. Live and die. Go to the wrong on the wrong side of that gulf the rest of your life and gaze upward and realize I'll never be saved now. We should get down to the very gates of that awful place and listen. We would hear them cry many things, but we would hear this, Jeremiah 8:20, the harvest was past. I could have been saved. I would never have come here. My father in the glory, my mother prayed for me. I went to the Sunday school. I heard the gospel. I listened to faithful preaching, and I knew the man that came and preached to see me saved. And they went away disappointed. And here I am, I have missed the whole affair. And the darkest, gloomiest, most awful place in hell is the place where those go who have been under the sound of the gospel all their lives. There will be poor souls at the great white throne that never heard one gospel message ever preached. The man of Sodom will be there, and they never heard of Calvary. There will be sinners there that never heard of the love of God and the death of the Redeemer. How will it be with you to go and stand there in the midst of that great company and realize, I heard it, I knew it, I even protested. I never had it. I lived and died without the Savior. I hoped someday that I would know what the Christians know. Don't make any mistake about this. This is vital Christianity. It's the thing that will really count when the end is drawing near. Is there anyone to help us when the end is drawing near? Who will go through death's dark waters by our side? And will part the waves before us, and will calm each rising fear, and will bear my spirit safely o'er the tide. Yes, there's one. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Savior, he's the one. Do you know him? Have you received him? Is he a living, bright reality? Is he a Christ that's far away? Is he the Christ of history? The Christ of the history book of the world, or is he a living Christ, a risen Christ, that lives within me, and that died to save me, and I know him as my Savior, my Lord, and my Redeemer. Do you know him? Or are you empty? Matthew 25. Five were wise and five were foolish. The wise had oil in their vessel with their lamp. The foolish had no oil. The bridegroom's coming. I'll apply it to the coming of the Lord. We are near the coming of the Lord. You could be too late if death comes. You could be too late if the Spirit leaves you. But you could be too late if the door of mercy closes. The world's in a terrible condition tonight. One of the leading rabbis said the other day, we expect the Messiah in 1980. Before they receive him, they'll receive the false Christ. There may be a young man of 30 years in Israel tonight waiting to display himself as the Antichrist. And there may be a young officer that's left the military academy with all the genius of eloquence given to him by the devil himself, ready to force his deception upon a wandering world. The beast may be here. And the third great man is an apostate Muslim, the king of the fierce countenance. And certainly the Ayatollah Khomeini has a fierce countenance. He's a forerunner of that last Muslim emperor. The world is shaping up. And when I look on the horizon and see the shape of things to come, I believe I'm near the rapture of the church. We never were as near as we are right now. We're on the brink of it. One American airline does not permit on that airline two born again men in the cockpit. You know that? The co-pilot has to be a sinner if the pilot's born again. Why? Because if the Lord comes, the calamity and tragedy of crash is already in the view of godless airlines. It's an amazing thing that the unsaved knew more about the resurrection than the believers. There's not a man in the world tonight, and I talk to hundreds of my journey, but they believe that we are nearing the end of the world, as they call it. Whenever we announce meetings for prophecy, people will flock by the scores. Why? People are interested. The public are interested today in the times in which we live. They see the end is coming, I believe. 1980 could find a big change. Every believer in the world may disappear tonight. There'll not be a sound on the horizon. There'll not even be the rumble of thunder nor a falling star. If Jesus comes tonight, he's coming silently. He's coming secretly. He's coming suddenly. And he's snatched away from bed. And he's snatched away from thieves. And he's snatched out of every department of life his chosen people, and will be caught up, raptured, snatched away to meet them in the air. And there will be cities where it will mean nothing. But the city of Vancouver will feel it. It's a city of Bibles and churches, and many Christians in it. Not be one left. Denominationalism won't matter. Ethnic groups will not matter. Religious opinion won't count that. What will count? Everyone that's blood-washed and heaven-born and heaven-bound and saved by sovereign redeeming grace and knows Christ. Someone will only know him a day. You know him?
cometh. They that were ready went in with him to the mine. The door was shut. Used to make me tremble. It wasn't another truth that the brethren preach. The preachers declare that troubled me more than this. Coming of the Lord. It's always afraid of it. Never liked to hear it. Why, there was no oil in the vessel with the lamp. It came now. There's a number of us here would disappear. Gone. Would you be left sitting in Woodland Drive? Left behind? The door shut. The Lord has come. Saints are gone. House is empty. Father and mother gone. Sister and brother, grandmother's gone. Now I'm there! Now I'll never be saved, not for all eternity. Never. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage and the duel was done. Too late. But thank God you're not too late yet. You can be saved right now. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Will you come tonight? Will you say to God, I'm a sinner? Be prepared to do it. It takes humility to do it. To come to God and say, yes, I'm a sinner. And I want Christ and I need Christ. And I'm prepared to receive it on God's terms. He died on that little cross for me, a guilty sinner. And I come and I trust him for time and for all eternity. And those of us who are saved, we need to come afresh. I bring my conversion up to date many a time. It's a good thing in the evening to say, Lord Jesus, I trust to be Lord, for if there's any mistake, I didn't really love thee, if I haven't really grasped it the way I ought, I come with a firmer hand to lay hold upon it right now. Yes. When I go to visit people that are dying and the mind is wandering and things are not right, I like to get down beside them and quote John 3:16 again. Brings peace, trouble, devil bitter. Brings peace and comfort. I thank God for it every day. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave the name of the God and Son that he should ever believe in him. That's me. Right there. I believe it. I believe in him alone. No one else. His promises I never can. Thank God. Not too late. Do you come? Come. Our Father, we do bow in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we thank thee for the day of grace being lengthened. We don't know how long. Time is very short. Runs in quickly. And the years are passing rapidly by, and we do trust that not one in our company will put off this urgent, important, vital, first-rate matter. It has priority over every other thing that we'll ever face. For when the end is drawing near, and we're going out, we'll need to have Christ. Out of Christ, without a Savior, dark will the void seem. Clouds will gather, storms surround them. And we sing, O to Christ, for refuge flee. We pray that someone tonight might flee from the wrath to come. Maybe there's a boy here sitting by with a troubled heart. We pray to reveal thy love in Christ tonight. O God, don't let anyone go without the Savior tonight. Forbid that one in our company would go down into a Christless grave.
and go down into a Christ rejecter's hell to await the resurrection of judgment and be cast forever into Gehenna, the lake of fire, where the worm will never die and the fire will never be quenched. But grant that all might be in heaven above, through the blood, through Christ, his atoning death. Now, write it on our hearts. Grant that when they live in light of the coming of the Lord, light of eternity, someone may be saved tonight in our gospel meeting here. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.